Welcome to the A-Level Computer Science Study Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important data structure topics on the EdXL specification, stacks and queues. This is topic A2.1, and it comes up every single year in some form. Whether it's a trace table, a pseudocode question, or a compare question worth 6 marks, you need to know this inside out. So grab a pen, because we're going to cover everything you need to earn every available mark. Let's start with the big picture. A stack and a queue are both abstract data types. That means they're defined by their behavior, not by how they're physically stored in memory. The key distinction is the order in which data is accessed. A stack is last in, first out, LIFO. A queue is first in, first out, FIFO. Think of a stack like a pile of plates. You always take from the top and you always add to the top. Think of a queue like a supermarket checkout. The first person in line is the first to be served. Now, let's go deeper on stacks. A stack has two core operations. Push, which adds an item to the top, and pop, which removes an item from the top. There's also peek or top, which lets you look at the top item without removing it, and you always need the operations is empty and is full to check the state of the stack before acting on it. This is a critical exam point. Candidates who forget to check is full before pushing or is empty before popping will lose marks every time. The examiner's mark scheme explicitly awards 1 mark for overflow checking and 1 mark for underflow checking. Do not skip these. In a static array implementation, you maintain a single pointer called top, which starts at -1 to indicate an empty stack. When you push an item, you first check if top equals max size -1. That's your overflow check. If the stack isn't full, you increment top by 1, then assign the new value to the array at position top. When you pop, you first check if top equals -1. That's your underflow check. If the stack isn't empty, you read the value at position top, then decrement top by 1. Notice that in a static implementation, you don't actually delete the data, you just move the pointer. The old data is still in memory, but it's inaccessible. This is fine for static implementations. In a dynamic linked list implementation, things are slightly more complex. Each node contains a data field and a pointer to the next node. The top pointer stores the memory address of the top node. When you push, you create a new node, set its next pointer to the current top, then update top to point to the new node. When you pop, you save the data from the top node, update top to point to the next node, and then deallocate the memory of the old node. This last step, deallocating memory, is what prevents a memory leak, and it's worth a mark in dynamic implementation questions. The examiner will credit responses that explicitly mention freeing or deallocating the node after popping. Now let's talk about queues. A standard linear queue has 2 pointers, front, which points to the first item, and rear, which points to the last item. Enqueue adds to the rear. Dequeue removes from the front. The problem with a linear queue implemented as a static array is that as you dequeue items, the front pointer moves forward, and you waste the empty slots at the beginning of the array. Eventually, rear reaches the end of the array, even though there's space at the front. This is the classic problem that the circular queue solves. A circular queue treats the array as if it wraps around, like a ring. The key mechanism is modulo arithmetic. When you enqueue, instead of simply doing rear equals rear plus 1, you do rear equals open bracket rear plus 1, close bracket mod max size. This is the formula you must memorize and use in every circular queue question. If rear is at index 5 and max size is 6, then open bracket 5 plus 1, close bracket mod 6 equals 0, the pointer wraps back to the start. The same applies to the front pointer when you dequeue. Front equals open bracket front plus 1, close bracket mod max size. To check if a circular queue is full, you check whether open bracket rear plus 1, close bracket MOD max size equals front. To check if it's empty, you check whether front equals rear, though some implementations use a size counter instead, which avoids the ambiguity between a full and empty queue where both pointers are equal. Now, one of the most important applications of stacks in this specification is the call stack, the mechanism the processor uses to manage subroutine calls, including recursive calls. Every time a subroutine is called, the processor pushes a stack frame onto the call stack. That frame contains 3 things. The return address, so the processor knows where to go back to after the subroutine finishes, the parameters passed to the subroutine, and the local variables used within the subroutine. When the subroutine returns, the frame is popped from the stack, and execution resumes at the return address. In recursive algorithms, each recursive call pushes a new frame. If the recursion goes too deep, for example, if your base case is never reached, the call stack fills up and you get a stack overflow error. This is a key synoptic link between stacks and recursion. Exam questions often ask you to trace a recursive function and show the state of the call stack at each step. My advice? draw the stack frames physically on paper. Write each frame as a box with the return address, parameter value, and local variable value. This makes it almost impossible to make a mistake. Let's move on to exam technique. The most common question types for this topic are: write pseudocode for a push or pop operation, trace a queue or stack algorithm, and complete a trace table, compare static array and dynamic linked list implementations, and explain the role of the call stack in recursion. For pseudocode questions, always state your indexing convention at the start. Write something like, using zero-based indexing, where top is initialized to -1. This protects you if your pointer logic is slightly different from the mark scheme. Examiners are instructed to follow your stated convention. For compare questions, the mark scheme rewards specific contrasts, not just descriptions. Don't say, a static array has a fixed size. Say, a static array has a fixed size determined at compile time, whereas a dynamic linked list can grow or shrink at runtime, making it more memory efficient when the number of elements is unpredictable. That's the kind of comparative language that earns marks. For trace table questions, be methodical. Work through each operation one at a time. Update every pointer after every operation. Don't rush. The marks are for accuracy, not speed. Now let's do a quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, pause, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What does LIFO stand for and which data structure uses it? Last in, first out, the stack. Question 2. What is the formula for updating the rear pointer in a circular queue? Rear equals open bracket rear plus 1 close bracket MOD max size. Question 3. Name the three things stored in a call stack frame: return address, parameters, and local variables. Question 4. What error occurs when you try to pop from an empty stack? Stack underflow. Question 5. In a dynamic linked list implementation of a stack, what must you do after popping a node to prevent a memory leak? Deallocate or free the memory of the popped node. To summarize today's episode, stacks are LIFO, queues are FIFO. Always check for overflow before push or NQ, and underflow before pop or DQ. These are guaranteed marks. Circular queues use modulo arithmetic for pointer wraparound. Rear equals open bracket, rear plus 1, close bracket, MOD max size. The call stack stores return addresses, parameters, and local variables for each active subroutine call. In dynamic implementations, always deallocate memory after popping. And in compare questions, use explicit comparative language, not just descriptions. This topic is very mark-friendly once you know the rules. The pseudocode patterns are consistent, the mark schemes are predictable, and the concepts are logical. Put in the practice on trace tables and pseudocode writing, and you will earn those marks. Thanks for listening. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.